we've got Mr. Meat here himself. So, Andy Guster of Hamilton Fine Foods, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, mate.
You don't look like you eat a lot of meat.
I'm classed as being, quite well, slim, you might say.
Yeah, slim,
I'm a good advert for meat, really. Because I like meat as well.
That's the positive side of things, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you just said something really interesting about the game season is now coming to an end.
Well, yes, the season for shot game on the island now is finished. There's still things like venison and that sort of thing around. Well, you can indeed buy game all the year round now. That's permitted. So there are pheasants and partridges and all that sort of thing in the freezer to purchase for a dinner party, but not being shot regularly and being sold fresh.
Okay, because I haven't had pheasant for about 25 years. I absolutely loved it. Yeah. And I've never had pheasant since then, and I keep saying to the wife, go on, get me a pheasant. Go on, be nice to me, get me a pheasant. So, can I still get one? Is it for the next couple of weeks, or is it done and dusted
it's
now?
It's the whole year round you can buy pheasant now.
All right, so I can come
pheasant,
and get one.
Pheasant breasts, just portions and that sort of thing. If you want to do something, a light meal, and just use the pheasant breast, they're available.
So she don't mess it up, how should I cook the perfect breast?
Don't cook it for very long.
Right.
Game birds have no fat on the inside of the muscles, so they do cook quite dry.
Right.
So it's just a quick sizzle in the oven, and that's about it. And you need it pink in the middle.
Okay, I'll tell her that.
Would you wrap it in bacon or something to kind of
to protect the outside? It needs a parma ham or a bacon, something like that, to wrap it in.
Yeah, there you go.
Or even cook under foil.
Yeah.
A little bit of moisture in the bottom of the foil. So
bit of butter.
Bit of butter or even water.
Look, Andy, I've got a better idea. Why don't you come round and cook it? Show the wife what she's got to do and how she's got to do it.
Well, all this advice is available free every day of the week, so just go and see your butcher.
Well, I must admit, you've got some great guys in your Pearl Street shop, because whenever I go in there, we always have a bit of banter with the guys there, and we got some goat a little while ago. We had goat curry.
Yeah.
Absolutely lovely it was. Try it. Goat curry was my favourite curry ever. The wife did a fantastic job on that.
Mm.
And there's a variety of different meats that you can eat, and you think, right, okay, you eat that as well, and then they can get hold of it, which is great.
Oh yeah, we're quite popular since Christmas. It's been kangaroo steak, which people don't think of very often in this country. Obviously, it's born and bred in Australia, but we do sell kangaroo rump steak, which is very similar to venison and cooked much the same way.
And we had, I think we went out for a meal very recently, we had venison, and it was really, really nice. I must admit, I don't think I'd had it in the past, but really liked it. Let's talk about mainstream meats then. Your perfect beef, let's be honest, Mum's Day's coming up, Mother's Day's coming up, so what is the best way, what is the best bit of beef that you can buy, and what's the best way to cook it?
The best piece of beef actually is ribber beef on the bone for a full flavour and traditional qualities. But any topside can be roasted just as well and looked after and kept moist and pink. That's always the best way to have beef, not cooked out dry. If you can keep it moist in the middle, cook it with a drop of water in the bottom of the pan again, and round about 20 minutes to the pound into a hot oven at about 180. It does it all for you. The oven does the cooking. The chef just worries about it.
So put it in water. How much water?
About an inch of water, if one may use that measurement still.
Really?
Just in the bottom of the pan, it helps steam it.
Do you cover it in foil?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, just take foil off for about the last 10 to 15 minutes, just to get that crispy bit on the top. And be sure to make it rest, or let it rest when you finish cooking. About 20 minutes is ideal. And it softens the meat up again, because it's quite stressed when it first comes out of the oven, because of the heat it's been under. If you let that ease off for about 20 minutes, it'll make a tremendous amount of difference to the eating quality.
Do you know what? You've explained that so well, because I never really understood that, because the wife always says she wants to leave it, and I say it'll go cold.
So no, it won't go cold. Put the foil back on, just leave it to rest under that foil.
Right.
The moisture will re-enhance in there, but underneath that foil, and it'll come back moist again and be a lot better to eat.
And can you use the water then for your gravy?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
You sure you can't come round this Sunday and cook for us?
I'll come round and share it with you.
So what is Mother's Day on Sunday. What's everybody buying this week?
Well, we're finding that turkey is quite popular this weekend. Turkey breast. Always a lovely thing at Christmas, but why just Christmas? And traditionally, Easter was a time when we sold quite a lot of turkey. But now Mother's Day looms up and someone says, I want something different for Mum coming round. So we suggest turkey. It's a nice, easy roast to do. Very similar cooking times as topside. And very easy to do. Nice and moist. and give us a shout when it's ready.
Well, do you know what? I'm doing this weekend because we've got mother-in-law coming round and my mum coming round as well. And we stumbled upon something when your shop was in Scarrett's Lane. You had a poster on the wall and it had a joint of beef. I think it might have been brisket. And you had some old Newcastle brown ale.
That's right.
And you put that in, and we stumbled upon that. So we got some beef shin and we soaked it in beer overnight. And then cooked it and put in some shallots and then served it up with some mash, made the beer stuff into gravy.
Yeah.
And it was just to die for, it was. You cooked it in a slow cooker, so it was on there for about 6 hours and it was just absolutely yum. It really was. So that's what we're doing on Sunday.
Yeah. Melt in the mouth food.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So I'm starting to get hungry now. I'm all dribbling. So, I mean, you're going to come back and do a monthly feature, come in maybe every couple of weeks or so, and talk about things. I know the barbecue season, I mean, look at this weather and how mild it's got today. It won't be long before we're having a barbecue.
Makes you think along that way, doesn't it?
It does. It really does. So maybe, you know, come back and we get some useful tips on how to cook the best barbecue food and what you've got going. I mean, have you got anything? Now's the time you're probably thinking about what you're going to do for the season.
Well, we're looking at new products that we can do, and there are some things we're starting to develop which will be meat enhancement, if you like. We're going to add some actual vegetables to the product so that you'll get a full meal on one plate coming off of the barbecue. So
that's a good idea. Mm.
That sounds fantastic. Yeah. So when you have a barbecue yourself, do you like invite people round? Like,
and does everyone expect like fillet steak? Well, because you're a butcher.
They always expect it's going to be exceptionally nice, and touch wood, it usually is. So I never get any complaints. So,
do you do the cooking yourself?
I do like to cook meat, yes. Yeah. Particularly on the barbecue.
So, what is the secret of cooking meat on a barbecue? You know, because how many times have you had this where it's completely charred on the outside and not very nice on the inside?
You need to take advantage of the barbecue if you're cooking on charcoal.
Yeah.
Charcoal barbecue always has hot spots and cool spots.
Okay.
And you need to know how to spot those, obviously. When it goes white within the coals, it's usually the hottest part under there.
Right.
So initially seal the steak over that part.
Yeah.
Seal both sides. And then put it to the cooler part of the barbecue, just simmer away, just like you would a warming oven.
Yeah.
Still turn it over every 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And then let it rest. Again, important, don't put it straight on a plate for someone to eat. Let it rest a bit so that you get that succulence back into it.
So that's the trick, to let it...
Even steak particularly needs to rest when it comes out off of the pan or off of the barbecue.
How long for? I'll be sat there with my stopwatch, because I can smell it now, and I'm thinking the sauce is being done, I'm going to have the pepper sauce.
Anticipation is everything.
Yeah, it is, but how long a normal steak should you leave it for?
About 5 minutes if you can.
Five minutes.
If you can resist that long.
I'll try my best. It's pretty difficult. Now, I'm not really a massive pie eater, but I do like your pies. So what kind of special pies are you doing at the moment?
Well, we're sticking very much to tradition, because we find that is the most popular things every time. The sausage roll, I think, is our biggest seller of all, because it's made traditionally with traditional products that have texture and flavour. But our steak and ale pie is our next biggest seller out of all. It's nice Isle of Wight steak with Isle of Wight ale, marinated, as you say, overnight in the ale, and then cooked for 7 hours. In a slow cooker, and then made into a pie. What more could you ask?
I noticed you're coming in empty-handed today again.
Oh, pockets empty.
Do you know, I'm starting to get hungry now, aren't you?
So do you source a lot of your meat from the island?
As much as possible.
Yeah.
We have a regular supply weekly of Isle of Wight beef.
Yeah.
Obviously, in areas of demand in the summer, when we need more of one cut than another, and we run out quickly of that particular cut, particularly steaks in the summer, we supplement with a good quality English meat.
Yeah.
But we always advise people what we're selling if they wish to know. But we always go for consistent quality. There's a secret, I think, of continual good trade.
Now, I've got to ask you a question, because obviously when you hear the wife saying, oh, I've got a bit of lamb this week, oh, it's more expensive than... Why are meats more expensive than others? Is it because there's a shortage of lamb? Is it because there's a shortage of beef and pork? I would imagine pork's slightly cheaper than the other two.
Pork is cheaper because there's far more imports in pork throughout Europe.
Right.
And indeed, throughout most of the rest of the world, pork is available in bigger numbers. Believe it or not, you can buy USA pork in this country.
Blimey.
And you wonder why. But yeah. That's another question we can answer another day. But seasonal lamb fluctuates a great deal. You got the spring lambs coming in Easter, when lamb will probably go up about 150 a kilo across the board.
Right.
Simply because it's the newest spring lamb that comes in. The rest of the lambs, being a year old or getting on that way, have always been fairly costly in price, because English lamb is quite a good product and keeps its price because of exports. But other than that, it's people are starting to accept that lamb should be dearer now, because we don't have imported New Zealand lamb available like we used to.
Yeah.
And that's the reason that, that lamb went up so dear, probably about, well, I could tell you exactly when it was, when we entered the EEC.
73?
Yes.
Yeah.
The New Zealand Meat Board were lumbered with a 20% import levy into this country, which pushed the price of lamb up right across the board, which allowed the English market to regenerate itself and start producing English lambs again.
Do you think that should happen with more meats?
We need to guarantee our supply of meats, yeah. And the more we do that by paying a sensible price. And what scares me most is special offers on beef, for instance, this week, is half the price that we normally sell it for, and it undermines the product, which, when somebody's got to produce it, there's no way to say they want somebody else to be selling half the price it costs. It's no good. Look at the dairy farms and milk prices. It's no good. You need to guarantee your supply. You need to pay a fair price.
You know, I'm glad you've explained it, because I think half the time there's a lot of myths out there, and we just say, oh, it's more expensive and that's that. But now you've explained the whole thing. It to me, it makes common sense. It really does. Coming back to 1973, that's the major issue. Maybe we ought to have a go at that problem at some point. But obviously, you can't, because it's political, isn't it?
Mm, that's right.
Yeah. So maybe we'll do that on your behalf. Then we'll have a little crack at that. There's so many things I could ask you, because I wish we were more, we were bigger friends and I'd come round your house more often, because hey, look, so would you, be honest, you would, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I want cookery lessons, meat cookery lessons.
Do you do that as well?
I do demonstrations of meat preparation. I do demonstrations of sausage making, and to go with that, when I'm doing the demonstrations, there's always lots of hints as to how to cook it and how to get the best out of it.
Where and when do you do those?
I usually do them on an invited basis. That I go to a group or a club, WIs for instance, and I show them how to prepare a chicken, the best way to get different cuts and what to do with them. And we usually end up with a chicken supper afterwards, which is some chicken breast fillets that I've stuffed and wrapped, and we share a supper.
How lovely is that?
It's a nice evening.
Lovely.
Yeah, how lovely is that?
Do you know, I did this recipe once where you had to debone the whole chicken, and it took me hours. You've never seen anything like it. And stuff it.
Yep.
And they, by the time I ended up serving it, it looked like roadkill.
There's a certain amount of skill involved in beginning it look like it should.
I thought maybe I'd inherited it from granddad, but obviously not.
Can I just say that, whenever I go into the new shop, I'm always amazed by how it looks, because the new shop, if people have not seen it yet, you've got to get yourself into Pyle Street. It's right next door to Jay the Lardy Barber's place.
Yeah.
Get yourself there, because it does look spectacular. It really does. But I just love, don't you just love the sight of fresh, great coloured meat in the window?
Yeah.
How do you keep it cool? Because in a minute, when the sun gets up first thing in the morning, that's going to be warm. So how do you keep that cool?
Well, it's all kept under refrigeration, but it's the butcher skills that have been evolved over years. When I first started in the trade, there was hardly any fridges. People didn't have fridges. So people had to know how to keep meat, and that's the housewife as well. But the butcher had a cold bed on his window, and that's all he had to work with. And it's the skill of being in control of the product and keeping it looking good. Meat needs to be looked as though you want to take it home and cook it. If you can keep that up, people will buy it.
Oh, it does. Yeah. It does look like it.
That's it.
For sure. Can you tell us about your £10 meal deal? Because I love this.
£10 meal deal, I started probably about 2 years ago now, and we've managed to sustain the prices that you still get the full value of that, which is the chicken, the mince, the ham, the sausages. And that chicken will go for a family of four quite easily. And you've still got the stock afterwards if you want to, and the bones to make a soup for those who can. Sausages obviously is a meal in itself. The ham is another evening meal, and well, what more can you ask? Mince goes a long way in all sorts of meals. So Yeah. I'll leave you for the invention.
I think that's a wonderful thing because a lot of people out there that are struggling, and you know the £10 meal deal is affordable, and you can make it go a long way if you're clever. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it wouldn't last 5 minutes. Well, it would last 5 minutes, Iris, because I'd eat half the chicken in one go, and then I'd have a crack at the mince as well. But families that are living on the breadline, I think it's a wonderful thing to be able to go and get a whole chicken, some mince, some sausages, and some ham as well. I just think that's a brilliant, brilliant thing. Will you keep that one going?
As long as I can, yeah.
Are you conscious of the fact that that is helping people?
Yes.
You must be.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do note that the type of people that come in for it. And usually it's nice to see young families coming in and getting it, so that we know that they're eating the right products instead of some of the cheaper meals that are available, or ready meals that are not actually as healthy as the people like to think they are.
Always cheap.
Yes. But be in control of what you're eating, buying natural products. You know what you're adding to it, and you can control that. If you're putting the amount of salt in that you require, it's not being a lot of added salt that you don't know about. So be in control and eat well.
Okay. Look, thanks for coming in.
Can I just ask one more question?
Go on, you carry on.
Have you noticed like fashions change in the last, say, decade or two decades between what people used to buy regularly and what they're buying now?
Yes. Young people particularly, do not know how to cook like they used to.
Yeah.
And it's all down to, I think, mums having to go to work and not being able to teach their children in the kitchen what they're actually doing to prepare a meal. And families are under a lot of pressure in their timeline to actually get a meal on the table that suits everybody.
Yeah.
So it's changed a lot.
And yeah.
A lot of that is to do, I think, with Sundays as well. That's just another day in the week, whereas it should have been kept special.
So you're so right there. Mm. You really are. I'm just thinking, going back to that chicken, right, you could make that, if you've got a family of four, yeah, you could make that last for a meal. You probably could get some sandwiches out of it and a decent lot of soup as well.
Yeah.
And if you were to say that to somebody, you know, you're going to use the carcass to make some soup, most mums today, and dads too, because it's down to them as well, they would look at you and just say, soup? What are you talking about?
I do.
But we know that years ago, our grandmothers, our mothers used to show us how to make soup, and that's that. They'd make that go a little bit further.
My eldest son is madly into health and fitness, and he makes something called bone broth.
You're right, yeah.
Where you get the bones and you simmer them for like 24 hours or something, yeah, until all the marrow and everything comes out. And he said it's like a wonder food, and you know, and you can add it, you like, to vegetables to make your soups and stuff like that.
Yeah, the basic stock is the best value of the food.
Yeah.
And the little tip on bones, roast them before you boil them.
Yeah.
You get an extra layer of flavour then that actually helps.
There you go.
And there again, you're in control. If you're going to want any salt in it, you can measure exactly what you're going to put in it.
Exactly.
For your goodness, yeah.
Hey, look, going to come back in a few weeks' time and talk barbecues.
Certainly.
Brilliant.
Look forward to it.
Are you having any barbecues?
Not yet.
Right.
You are now.
But we are making burgers already. People are asking for burgers. So,
I love burgers as well.
I don't know why people don't eat them 52 weeks of the year, because it's a lovely product.
Yeah.
Mm. I think, and also the other thing is, I find if you use this steak mince with virtually no fat in it, you don't get anywhere near as nice a burger or bolognese as if you use one with a nice bit of fat in it.
You need fattest flavour.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't have to eat the fat when you cook it. A lot of it cooks out of the product.
So no, but it keeps it moist, doesn't it while you're cooking?
It fills it with flavour.
I had to actually ask at a supermarket once if they could put some fat on a bit of beef I was buying, and they went, no, I can't do that.
No, there's no butchers there, I'm afraid. Not with spare fat. So it comes in already done, so whatever comes out of the box goes on the shelf.
But
that's the difference between going to the butcher. You can have what you want.
That's it, exactly.
And it's not personal touch. As expensive as people think it is.
No. It's an absolute myth that it is more expensive. At the end of the day, we tried this a little while ago. We stopped buying food, meat from the supermarket. And we did this two, three years ago. And we said, right, we're not going to buy it. Let's see how we get on. Can we do it? Because most people would be of the opinion, oh, no, that would be more expensive. No, we're not spending any more. In actual fact, it kind of balances itself out. But what you have got, you're paying the same amount of money for, and you're getting the good quality.
Absolutely right.
So and it is. It's and look at me now. I'm so much healthier.
You are, Ian. I'll vouch for that.
We'll see you in a few weeks' time. We'll talk barbecues. All right.